I'd like to welcome Jessica Small, the president of Advocate Aurora Psychiatric Hospital, to our meeting today. Welcome.
Thank you, Mary. So I am Jessica Small. As Mary said, I'm the president of Aurora Psychiatric Hospital. I'm also being the interim site administrator for the Mental Health Emergency Center, as Aurora Health Care is the operating entity for the facility. So we're in the process of recruiting for a new leader. So I'm kind of pinch hitting today for this meeting. So what I have today is some updates in terms of just some utilization and what we're seeing at the Mental Health Emergency Center. Correct me if I'm wrong, that the slides went out to the group?
Yes.
Okay. So I can display them on the screen if you would like, and then we can walk through them, just what we're seeing in terms of trends. And I'm going to just warn everyone, I don't do a lot of fancy screen sharing, so you're going to see this how I'm good at it. So I know there's better ways to do it, but that's not my best skill set here. So again, this is our update. So this is looking at April data, just to get a picture of what is occurring at the Mental Health Emergency Center and where we're running month to date. And each month has been pretty much the same. It's similar to this. So we're seeing about 600 patients a month. Majority of them are adults. Most of our patients are coming in, about half are coming in via police, half are coming in on their own. You can see the legal status at admission, voluntary and versus involuntary, and our legal status at discharge, which is pretty consistent to what was occurring at PCS, that the majority of the patients that are going coming in involuntary are actually not leaving involuntary. So we're not seeing really any drift or changes from what we were seeing in the past. So the treatment director designee process is working very well. A majority of our patients are going home. So again, that's this gray on the big pie chart. So a majority of our patients are going home with 436 in April, and about 112 went to inpatient psychiatric facilities, either voluntary or involuntary. We look at our volume for the year. So this kind of shows you what's been occurring over the year from adults and kids. So January, you can see around that 500 adults is pretty consistent for the months, you know, February lower, 28 days. So again, that it's averaging about 20-ish to 25 patients a day. And our kids is holding steady around 100 child and adolescent each month. This is our legal status by month. So you can see, you know, we're holding pretty steady around that 275, 280. March again bumped up a little bit, but again, remember, a few extra days in the month. February is lower. So we're not seeing any significant differences in terms of legal status trends, change in behavior of our community members or anything that month over month. So we're really happy with that work. We meet monthly with Milwaukee law enforcement, so to make sure that we're not seeing any trends or differences. But again, things are pretty steady in terms of what we're seeing from a legal status as patients present. Our average length of stay is about, it's gone down this month, which is good, but we've been averaging about 13 hours up until April. A lot of this has to do with the average is really impacted by some cases that take a long time, especially sometimes in the child and adolescent space. But I can tell you, patients who come in and go home, it's about a 6-hour length of stay. So again, when they're brought in, assessed, triaged in terms of, and finding aftercare resources, it's about 6. What impacts this to the longer length of stay are some of that transfer and stabilization of their psychiatric crisis. Where are patients going? So these are the inpatient transfers. So where patients are going, regardless, this is just a summary slide of regardless of legal status. So you can see we've got both April and then our year-to-date numbers. So Granite Hills, Rogers, Aurora Healthcare, Ascension, we've been able to spread patient volumes across the community. If if we want to look at that from legal status, so we're looking at where the patients are going from an involuntary perspective. This is April, so 32 patients went to Granite Hills, 22 went to Aurora Healthcare, 8 went to Rogers, 2 went to Ascension, and 1 to Winnebago. And then the other side in blue is all of our voluntary transfers. This is year-to-date legal status. So we see that Granite has had 107 transfers of involuntary, Aurora 89, Rogers 38, Ascension 15, and Winnebago. So again, similar community support as we saw at PCS. One of the things I will say, we've really engaged and worked closely with all of our community partners to leverage and maximize keeping our patients in the community. And then in the blue are the voluntary transfers. So you see kind of a across the board, Aurora, Granite, Rogers, Ascension. There's an error here. A voluntary should not go to Winnebago, so please, some data always has flaws, so some of this we have to look at and scrub, so that one it should be over in that space. So if we look at it from where our children are going, child and adolescent, year-to-date, Aurora has taken 42, Granite 39, and Rogers has taken 21. I will call out that Granite Hills is only taking patients over 12 years of age, so that's where you see some of the differences, especially when we look at legal status, where Aurora is taking and Granite is taking and Rogers. So still, again, doing nice work with transitioning the children and adolescents across the local community providers. And then this is our year-to-date from a legal status perspective. And so again, since we see a little bit of an age difference from a Granite Hills perspective and the number of beds that they have available, Aurora has taken a few more involuntary child and adolescents. And then just to share some patient satisfaction, we do monitor and look at our patient satisfaction. We're working on getting our end numbers up. We use an automated survey, a national benchmark survey, NRC. But these are just some really some powerful statements from our patients and what we're hearing. And just wanted to share that and really raise up a lot of the great work that the team is doing at the facility. You know, we have a really dedicated team. We have a wonderful culture. Our turnover rate is less than 8%, which is fantastic in this workforce environment, and people that are really committed to the care and delivery of this important service to the patients and the people in our community. So some really great stories. We're doing a lot of great work partnering with Mike and his team quite a bit. We have actually today, I can share that we've got a shared group out there of crisis workers helping with our discharge planning, so everyone's kind of coming together as we're looking for this new phase of improvement and really kind of understanding the flow. But from a summary perspective, I would say we've got enough data to really show that we're not seeing any significant changes from what we expected. Our volumes are up a little bit. We're projecting about 7,000. We're going to annualize closer to 8,000 visits a year. So the physical placement of the Mental Health Emergency Center really drives some of that walk-in that we assumed would happen. But overall, very positive feedback that we're receiving. Mike, do you have anything else from a board perspective of from the Mental Health Emergency Center side being on that, those?
No, I would just say that I believe the board, the feedback has been positive. It has this really, the Mental Health Emergency Center has changed the landscape in the sense that folks aren't being boarded as frequently at partner hospitals. I think the collaboration in general between the four systems and the Behavioral Health Services Division has improved dramatically. I think part of this is the learning together helped more and more folks understand A, what resources are available in the community, but B, really has established a certain camaraderie around serving this, what can be a challenging population, together. And really, it's exciting. We've made substantial strides in the past year that really changes that perception of the folks we serve. It really, there's been many, many examples of it. You know, we're all in it together, and I think that's a pretty amazing outcome of this, which is something we hoped for, but we've actually realized it in a way that I don't think anyone was really expecting. We've had difficult conversations about challenging cases that have been resolved in a really collegial and appropriate way, really for the benefit of that person. So that's all I'll add.
Thank you, Jess. It really, the numbers are looking good, and reports coming out are looking good, and comments, and I think it's happening, and that's what's important. Committee members, comments, thoughts?
Yeah, this is Denise. So welcome, Jessica. I'm Denise Lovins. I'm a mental health board member, and I also chair the community engagement and the community, involved with the community stakeholder advisory council. And one of the things that the council was interested in, this is a great report, they're wondering if there's any kind of activities or event that will commemorate the 1 year as we get to the 1 year. Are you feeling like you might redo like some tours? How is the partnership with the neighborhood? Do you have a sense of like kind of that zip code analysis? Are we seeing people from the neighborhood? The hypothesis was, you know, most of our folks that were being seen were from this neighborhood, and why the placement. So I think those are some of the things that the Stakeholder Advisory Council talks about, and certainly the voice of the consumer is really important to them. So sharing those data are really helpful.
So I can speak for the zip code data. We have that available to us. We can certainly pull that. That's a great idea, great feedback. We have not spoken at all about anything from a one-year perspective. I would actually kind of defer that from a governance entity to the board of the Mental Health Emergency Center, as it is, you know, governed by that independent entity. And what they would like to do, I wouldn't really make that recommendation as the operator. I can say tours are difficult. It's a small space, and active treatment is going on in that space, so it is very difficult. I would say partnerships with the community, and you know, anecdotally, I can tell you we had our staff celebration picnic last Wednesday, and we had you know, a nice picnic cookout, music playing, and we didn't have any concerns or things from the community. We partner very well with everyone around, and we have not had any concerns or anything raised from that end. So I'm not really sure how we would quantify that. So, but I can definitely look to get, it's a good point out on the zip code. That would be something from a hypothesis perspective could bring into the governing board for the Mental Health Emergency Center.
Awesome. Yeah, I understand, certainly from confidentiality and just logistics, that would be difficult. So, yeah, we'll talk further about, you know, how our organizations are looking to celebrate 1 year. And then also, just if there's any way to provide us quantitative data on the satisfaction. So the qualitative comments are really amazing. And I believe at our last quality meeting, you did share maybe some additional data on satisfaction, or that might have been Granite Hills. But I think those are the things that the engagement and the stakeholder teams are looking for. Like, hey, what are people saying? And specifically as it relates to access and no wrong door, and that strategic focus of Milwaukee County. Yeah, so I'm not sure if like your outside agency who does your satisfaction has like kind of a cadence for, you know, quarterly data or wrapping up as we get to the annual data that might be.
Yeah, we do track all that. We have the details of the data. I just didn't bring it from this, just more sharing the story. We report that regularly to the MHAC board, the quantitative data, and it goes up through the MHAC entity, you know, their quality council and their quality governing committee as the hospital. So yes, we do definitely do that. There isn't a national benchmark for psychiatric ERs, so we're really benchmarking against ourselves in terms of what that looks like. And we're using ER survey tools because it is an emergency room, but no, that all is done at the hospital board governance level and as part of our patient and quality team, our quality committee at the Mental Health Emergency Center.
Excellent. Is that data available on the public website too? Like we can
track?
No.
It is not. It is not.
Okay.
I mean, Mike, we could talk about what the MHAC board would like to share from that as that perspective. You know, we have different options, but it's really kind of this partnership through the board of MHAC of how they want to, what they want to share and those types of things.
My sense is we can be transparent. We're gonna just going to try to be, just like we do at the Mental Health Board, where we don't present publicly data about mental health quality until it's gone to this committee and then presented, then that's sort of the next publicly available tier of data. My sense is these reports, and that we're, once they go to the governing body for the Mental Health Emergency Center, we could share them as part of our quality sort of the data we share about the people we serve. We would just want to get that blessed by the committee. So I think there's an easy path there. And I think the zip code, we actually track zip code data as well for all of our enrollment. So I think we would be able to help with a report that would put the board at ease that the folks under your care are being well served.
Yeah, and I love that so much, because without any data, then there's like, oh, I heard, you know, that this one person had this experience, which is, it may be a good experience, it could be a, you know, unfavorable experience, but, you know, and then I'll always roll it up to a larger, greater population to say, but here is the data that we're hearing about the Mental Health Emergency Center. In, you know, 99% of the population is satisfied, you know, or, you know, and that's why, and I want to get ahead of that. I, you know, don't want any of the meetings revolving around one person. Certainly one person having an unfavorable experience is important, but it can get lost in the greater good, if you know what I mean. So, like, having some type of cadence for the Community Stakeholder Advisory Council, because the purpose of that meeting is really the voice of the consumer, and since this was a big transition for the county, it's on the radar, and we tend to talk about it a lot.
Right.
So this and Granite Hills. So anything that you can provide us is really helpful. So Mike, yeah, and you attend those meetings, so it's helpful.
Am I currently muted or unmuted? I can't tell.
You're unmuted
now.
All right. So we need to wrap up, Denise. So if we can move on. Thank you, Denise.
Thanks, Jess. We appreciate
it. Item number 3. Granite Hills Hospital 2023 Quarter 1 Quality Report.